Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Philip Page. Philip started doing stand-up comedy at stand-up studios in Washington, D.C. He's performed all over the Washington, Baltimore, and Virginia area. He's also appeared at Broadway Comedy and Greenwich Village Comedy Club in New York. He's produced numerous Zoom shows during the pandemic under his brand, Let's Get Ready to Funny Productions. Welcome to the show, Philip. It's great to have you on here today.
And Dawn, it's great to be here today. Thank you for having me. You know, I love doing whatever I can for you. All you got to do is ask me, I'm there for you.
Oh, I know. I love our relationship. It started out by taking class together with Sheila Wins at Stand Up Studios in D.C., and that's where our friendship started. And it's been a blessing to have you in my life and also to perform with you and watch your career just keep budding and growing. I started taking the classes to face my fears of doing stand-up, but what made you sign up for them and have you get started in comedy?
Well, Dawn, it's real funny. I actually signed up for stand-up studio classes while I was in a hospital. I had a major medical emergency, so I was in a hospital for a few weeks. And during that time, I just thought about what was I doing with my life, and I could do a little bit more. So I just wanted to do something a little bit different than what I was doing. So originally, I signed up for acting classes, and I was a horrible actor. It turned out every time I got on stage, everybody would bust out laughing. So I said, maybe I should try something different. So I looked around for us. You know, I didn't even realize there were stand-up comedy classes. And so I just basically did a Google search for stand-up comedy, and classes came up. So, you know, and so I checked out a few of them. Then I checked in the stand-up studio class, and it sounded like something I wanted to do. It was in my mother's neighborhood where I was staying at for a while. So it was like, I'm going to do this. And, you know, Dawn, my intent was just to do one show, get it out of my system, and that'd be it.
And I'm kind of there with you. I was just like, I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to do this public show at the end of this 5-week class or 4-week class. And that is going to be it.
Exactly.
And this December will be 5 years since I said that. So, we're in the same boat there. Now, I think it's fun. Now, I work clean comedy primarily. That's what I do. But you work blue also. Do you find it challenging to write and perform clean comedy?
No, not really. I feel clean comedy is more, it's probably more difficult to do clean comedy because you have to be, well, for me, because, you know, I have to be conscious about what I say, you know, because I don't know if this is a good thing, but I curse a lot.
It happens.
It's just me. So it's easy for me, you know, to do blue comedy more so than clean comedy. But as somebody told me, you know, when I first started, clean comedy is just blue comedy without the curse words. So, you know, it's not really that difficult at all.
No. Yeah, you do some clean shows. You recently did one this weekend, if I'm, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, right? It was the second annual Unity event in Baltimore. And I looked that up. I really, really love the idea of this event. Because, oh my gosh, we could so use a lot more Unity right now, especially in these times. Can you share with the laughers more about this event and what you love the most about it?
Okay, well, this event was, it was actually set up by a friend of mine, a promoter that I know in Baltimore, that I do a lot of shows with. So he's actually a DJ, but over the last year or so, we've developed a good friendship. So, you know, so when this is something that he does every year. Mm-hmm. So this has been going on, I think, for the last 5 years. Oh, okay. This is really my first time on. But when he approached me with it, you know, I really couldn't say no because, you know, it was like, I can give back to the community. I know of the community. I know some of the challenges of that community. And so it made me feel good just to give back. You know, a whole lot of times, these are the people that we walk by and don't pay a lot of attention to. And, you know, it felt good to just actually sit down there and make them laugh, you know. And like I say, they received me real well. I think everybody had a ball. The event was amazing. I mean, the turnout was great. The feedback from the event was great. I mean, it was just an overall great event. I mean, I loved it. I can't wait to do it again next year.
Yeah, I was seeing from the post, there was a post from a Baptist church, I believe, but it was, they really talked about how it was just so beautiful to see Republicans and Democrats and, you know, different gender orientations, just all kinds of different people coming together and sharing. I think there was live music too, and they were just sharing this experience together, regardless of what like walk of life they came from. And
right.
That just sounded beautiful to me.
I mean, it was just amazing because, you know, there's a lot of drug abuse in that area. And, you know, just to give them a break from that for a little while, you know, a lot of people were under the influence. You know, they came in, you know, we were able to give them a good meal. You know, we were able to talk to them. You know, we were able to, you know, just kind of be an example, you know. And like I say, primarily this was in a Black community. Mm-hmm. So as a Black man, it felt good to give back, man. It felt good to let them see that there was a different way, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I see so many of my friends and family, you know, get caught up in that street life. So it actually felt good to just go out there and say, you know, you can change. You don't have to do this. You know, we weren't out there to preach to anyone, but we were just out there, you know, just to bring joy to them for a day. And I mean, it was a really great opportunity.
Yeah, that sounds like it was about connection and just showing new ways of thinking and being are possible. Wow.
Exactly.
And how do you feel they received it? Did you have any kind of personal experiences that really stood out to you that someone you talked to, did they express impact or?
Well, Dawn, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to share something with you that you really don't know about me.
Okay.
I'm actually in recovery myself.
Okay. Great. Okay, yeah. Good. Congratulations.
So, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, and it's been over 30 years for me. But, you know, it was like I could share my story with them and let them understand because I knew exactly where they came from. I knew exactly what they were going through. So this wasn't somebody, you know, when I was talking to them, you know, this wasn't somebody talking to them, you know, on an academic level. This was somebody talking to them that had actually been through the same struggle that they had been through. So with that being said, I think they received that real well. You know, the respect and the love they showed for me was amazing. I mean, I wouldn't have changed anything about that.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. That's a beautiful thing to share, and thank you for being so vulnerable with us. I know that had to mean a lot to everyone that you had an opportunity to speak to. There's tremendous power in being able to say, I understand when you have walked through those same shoes. It has it has a deeper meaning and relatability and connection. Wow. Well, that's a great purpose for you. Thank you again for sharing that. And thank you, too.
Definitely, man. I loved it.
Oh my gosh. And you do have a gift. I mean, you're really hilarious. You are super funny. I can't wait to bring you here to the Valley again. We've had you before and we will have you again. I mean, there'll be laughers out there that haven't seen you yet though. So what should an audience expect when they see you perform? What's your material about?
Well, my material is primarily about life. You know, I mean, because most people don't realize that truth is funnier than fiction. I mean, you can look at any topic that goes on in your life that you may think is so dramatic and so devastating and find something to laugh about it. I mean, you may not get it right at the moment, but after a while, you know, when you come to grips with the situation, you can sit back and laugh about it. I mean, given, you know, we always tend to put a little flavoring on the experience. But, you know, but at the end of the day, it's life. I talk about my family. I talk about my ex-wife. I talk about my children. I talk about my weight because I'm a big guy, but I'm working on that soon. I'm going to be formally a big guy. So
that's going to be great new material. I can't wait to hear about that.
I'm getting it ready right now.
Because your big guy jokes are hilarious.
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, speaking of material, what is the best bit you feel you have ever written and why?
I think you just touched on it, the big guy stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I try to get away from it, and I know people who've seen me before, they come back and ask me, can you do that big guy joke again? We just love that one. I just can't take it out of my repertoire. They won't let me get rid of it.
It's a signature bit.
It's a signature bit. Yeah. And then they laugh about my hat that I wear all the time.
They just don't
understand. This hat is a legacy. My father left his hat to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He went to work and left it sitting on a table, and I had it ever since. So
I know it's kind of part of your stage outfit, you know.
Exactly.
Every time I see you, I see you with your hat. It's great. Yeah, it'll make an appearance here pretty soon in the Valley. So I'm excited about that.
Me and my hat.
You and your hat. Yeah. Who's been an inspiration to you, a comedian and or non-comedian wise?
To be honest, every comedian has gotten up on stage before me, because until I really did it, I didn't really know what it took to do it. I mean, you have a lot of people that sit back and say, I can do this. I can get on stage and do this. But, you know, it takes a lot to step out of your fear and to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I like all the classics like everybody else, Richard Pryor, Red Fox. You know, I'm kind of old school. I'm an old dude. So
nothing wrong with that.
You know, but like I say, my inspiration is anybody that gets on stage, new comic, old comic, clean comic, blue comic, black and blue comic, anybody, you know, because you learn from everybody. So, you know, I'm just saying my inspiration is every comic that come before me and every comic that comes after me.
We can learn something from everyone. We can't we? Good, bad, or indifferent. There's a lot,
exactly. A lot
of lessons and just life, period. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because there's so many amazing new comics that I've seen come up over the last year. And, you know, it's been like, you know, everybody had come with their own flavor. So it's like, you learn from everybody that you're exposed to. So, you know, I don't want to sit out and call anybody out, but, you know, you never stop learning. So, I mean, everybody I see, I try to pick up something from, you know, a certain gesture or, you know, a certain way they do a joke or a certain way that they pause after a joke, you know? So, I mean, you know, so it's like you never stop learning in this business.
That's true. Yeah, I noticed that too. Even at, you know, even at the open mics, the unpaid shows, you can pick up some things. Yeah, it just, and some not what, what not to do.
And some what not to do.
Yeah,
so what not to do too. Very important also.
Very agree.
Important.
Yeah.
Did he really do that?
Yeah, he must be working out new stuff. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think I've tried it though.
Yeah, mental. Yeah, note to self. Exactly.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, you're more than just performing. You are now producing, and you've produced several Zoom shows, numerous of them during the pandemic. And that led to you creating your brand, Let's Get Ready to Funny. Where does that inspiration of that name originate?
Well, I'm a big boxing fan.
Ah.
So, you know, it's a play on, you know, what the guy used to say, let's get ready to rumble. So
yep.
I can use that. Let's get ready to funny. So, I mean, I did it a couple of times and it actually went over real well. And I've been using it ever since.
Yeah, I was thinking that might be the answer. My ex-husband was a professional boxer and still, yeah, he actually still holds the state heavyweight title for West Virginia. That's been a long time. Yeah. So I thought maybe that might be it. And I can't remember that guy's name right now. Let's Get Ready to Rumble, but I have an autograph from him somewhere.
This
house. Yeah. So I was thinking that might be it. That's really cool. Big boxing fan.
Yeah, that would be it.
Well, who's your favorite boxer? We're on that topic. I mean, do you have an all-time favorite?
Muhammad Ali. I'm old school. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. What is that?
Hey.
Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Sting like a bee. Ain't nobody as pretty as me.
Yeah, it was the best so far all time, right? I don't know. You know more about boxing now than I do.
Well, me, I mean, you know, there's other people that might have another opinion, but, you know, in my opinion, he's the best of all times.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And when's the last time you went to a boxing match? Or, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's been online. You've been watching them now.
I actually haven't gone. It's been several years. I mean, you know, I used to go sometimes when they had them in the D.C. area. But like I said, that's been years ago. And, you know, with this pandemic, nobody's doing much of anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I kind of miss it, but hey, we're back on stage, though.
I know. You got a little combo going. Yeah, we'll talk about. Yeah, you do. With the online performances, though, may I ask, what adjustments from live performances to online performances did you make that really stick out to you?
Well, the difference between online performances and live performances was that, you know, with online performances, you don't really get the feedback from the crowd like you would get in a live show. So you pretty much have to, well, for me, I pretty much have to get into my head and just say, there's a crowd out there. You know, it's like closing my eyes and just seeing a room full of people. You know, I'm going to walk through my material and I may not see them, but I can hear them laughing in my head. What does that say about me?
But he's hearing voices.
I'm hearing voices. No, I'm hearing laughs.
Laughs, exactly. That's good. That's better. That's better and smarter for a comic to do it that way.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, but the reason I started doing, you know, Zoom shows because it was just one of those things where nobody was, you know, were really doing any live shows and I was missing the stage and I was sure there were other comics out there who were missing the stage also. So I just started doing live shows, you know, just to kind of keep people out there, to just kind of keep them relative, you know, because, you know, one day this was going to be over and people were going to start doing live shows again. So with the Zoom shows, least when you start opening up your clubs again, you've seen these people. You know, mm-hmm. you may not have seen them in a club, but you've seen them on Zoom shows. So they can just transition back into live shows. So, you know, it was just one of those things just to keep people's name out there and to keep people relative. And, you know, we went through a dark time and people wanted to laugh.
Yeah.
And that was a way, you know, I could give back a little bit, you know, bring a little bit of joy into people's lives, you know, for an hour or so. Mm-hmm. And basically to keep myself sane. So.
I know there's something special about laughing and making people laugh. Yeah. I like both sides of that equation. I enjoy, you know, going to other people's shows, performing shows, producing shows.
Exactly.
Yeah. All of it. Just creating that atmosphere, or being a part of the atmosphere to have a break from life it's actually wellness, in my opinion, and taking
care of
yourself.
It is.
Yeah.
I tell anybody, comedy is cheaper than therapy and it's more beneficial.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah, seriously.
This is why we're friends, Philip.
Exactly.
Now, do you see continuing Zoom shows moving forward, or what is the future exactly for Let's Get
I've said this the whole time. I think Zoom shows are actually here to stay.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's still an avenue for them. You know, you don't necessarily always have to be on stage. You know, mm-hmm. you know, the great thing about Zoom shows for me, mm-hmm. I've had comics from Germany. I've had comics from Australia. I've had comics from England. I've had comics from all over the world on my Zoom shows.
That's great. And
these are comics, if we were just doing live shows, I never would have got a chance to meet them. Mm-hmm. But with the, you know, with the power of the internet and stuff, I was able to bring the whole, you're able to bring the whole world together. I mean, and that's powerful.
That is powerful.
A lot of the shows that I do now, with comics that I've never met before in person, but, you know, we have that close connection just through a Zoom show. You know, we've developed that friendship online. I mean, I have comics like in Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, and I can reach out to them at any time and say, I need you on a Zoom show. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the good thing about that is I'm not using up all the local talent. I'm able to bring comics onto a Zoom show that you would not normally see in the DC area. Mm-hmm. You know how funny it is to have be on a show with a guy with a Australian accent and then another and then another guy come right behind him in a British accent.
Oh,
you know, wow. These are things that in the norm I wouldn't have had a chance to do or experience. So yeah, I think Zoom shows are actually here to stay.
I like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure in what capacity, but I do think there's a lane for them.
Yeah, I like that perspective. I think it's the freshest perspective I've heard to date about that. Where do you find these international comics from? Other Zoom shows, or how do you find the Brit and the?
You know, I get a lot of them from other Zoom shows. I get a lot of them from that I'm just watching on Facebook, and I'll message them and say, I really like your set, you know, and they'll respond back to me. We get a little correspondence going. And then the next thing I know, I'm inviting them to do a show. I mean, the internet has brought the whole world together. So there's really no reason for you not to be able to reach out to somebody around the world and make that connection and get them on a show. And you'd be surprised how quickly they respond back. You know, they're just waiting for the opportunity to do that. I mean, yeah.
What do you run in the set? So they're big at 5 minutes, or how do you put your show together?
I generally run my sets about 5 minutes. I try to make it no longer than an hour, because a lot of my shows I like to do on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And especially now, because I know there's so many comics going back to live performances and their time is, you know, they don't have the time that they used to have. So they may jump in and do my show real quick and then, you know, head off to their live show, whatever. And then, I mean, and that's for me also, because a lot of shows that I've done Zoom shows for, I've actually did them in my car. You know, I pulled up in the parking lot, opened my phone up and did a Zoom show for my car. So, I mean, it gives you that kind of flexibility. But, you know, I don't want to go too much over an hour because, like I said, I don't want to hog up everybody's night. And, I mean, you know, in a Zoom, you know, with any comedy, if you run it too long, it just gets dry. So, you know, I just want to keep that interest peaked and then let them go on with the rest of their evening.
Yeah, I like that. I like that approach. That's really great. Do you have a preference in performing comedy versus producing shows? If so, which do you prefer and why?
Well, don't. I'm a ham. I love being on the stage. Hey, it just is. I just love being on the stage. So
you just can't help yourself.
I just can't help myself. You know, though. You know me. I just can't help myself. But, you know, so my preference is being on stage in front of an audience.
Yeah. You know,
but I love both of them. But if I really had to pick one, I would much rather be on stage than produce. You know, it takes all the brain work out of it. Who wants to do that?
I know. There's a lot of organizing that goes into producing. Yeah.
Exactly.
And lining up all the ducks in a row and
exactly
herding all that.
Ducks don't play well together.
So. I know. I was getting ready to say to herd all the cats. I mean the comics.
Exactly. You do understand.
I do understand. They're a great bunch. I love them all, though.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they're amazing. What do you love most about doing comedy, Philip? For you personally,
what do I love most? Comedy is my personal relief. Mm-hmm. You know. I don't know if when I say this, I don't know how a lot of people take it, but it's true for me. When I get on stage, I get on stage for me. I get on stage to release what's in me. Okay. And if you happen to find it funny or get something out of it, that's for you. But when I'm on stage, really, I'm there to be there for me, okay? And hopefully I say something funny and you can laugh at it. And because, you know, sometimes I'm not on stage just to be funny. Sometimes I'm on stage just to deliver a message. You know, sometimes, you know, like I said, you can find funny in everything, but everything is not necessarily funny, but some things need to be said. You know, especially like when we were going, I remember one case when I was doing live shows and I was in a room full of people that I was probably the only person that had a mask on. And, you know, I went on stage and started to show like, you know, everybody need to put their mask on. Fat comic lives matter, too. So,
you know, how you feel about it, Philip.
I was serious, but I found it funny in it, but I was serious about it. Y'all need to put your mask on. I'm not trying to die here.
Was it indoors?
It was indoors.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. Indoors can be different. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and that was when clubs first started reopening again.
Oh, at that time too. Yeah. Right, yeah. The timing makes a difference as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Philip, as we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow you or even Let's Get Ready to Funny yourself?
Oh, sure.
Or that?
Follow me on Facebook at Phil Page. Facebook. You can also follow me at Phil_Page on IG. Let me see some of the shows that I have coming up. If you're in the D.C. area, I'm at the Ugly Mug on October the 16th in Washington, D.C. I'm at Club Expectations in Baltimore on the 23rd of October. I'm also supposed to be in Cleveland on October the third, but that show is still up in the air right now. So if you follow me on Facebook, I'll be able to give you more details about it. But yeah, so that's pretty much what I'm doing right now and how to find me.
Yeah, in a minute, we'll tell you where he's going to be here in the Valley. But first, let's thank you for being here, Philip. You have been great. This has been fun. And I'm so glad we had this time together today.
Dawn, I am so glad you asked me to do this. I mean, I've had a great time. And, you know, I love seeing you whenever I can. I think we saw each other about a month ago.
Yep, at another show. At one of our friend shows that they were putting. Angela Moore, yeah.
Right. And, I mean, like I said, it's always great to see you. It's always great to be on one of your shows. And I'm going to actually have to get you on one of my Zoom shows.
Yay! Thanks, Philip. I would love to do that.
I'm going
to
do a clean Zoom show just for you.
Thanks, Philip. Well, I have been on quite a few shows where I'm the only clean one, and that's okay. That's okay. That's the beauty of clean. You can go anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
Well, Laffers, you can catch Philip perform here in the Valley on October 8th at One Tribe Farms' highly popular outdoor summer fun series, where we'll have fresh off the farm food prepared by Chef Jordan, live music by Versus, and an X2 comedy show. We have a fabulous lineup for you with yours truly, Philip Page here, JMU professor Chris Womack, Dwayne White, a combat veteran from DC, and your headliner and all-time fave of X2, Winston Hodges himself. Bring your tribe to One Tribe Farm. It's located in Mount Sydney, just 20 minutes south of Harrisonburg. Buy your tickets today. We'll be sure to put that information in the show notes as well, so you know exactly where to get them, and we will see you there. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, Laffers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.